And now we are going to go to our space show news. Well, if you've been a regular listener to the space show, you will have heard all about the Rosetta mission and how the craft went into orbit around the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko, and they dropped a lander on November the 12th onto the comet's surface, and the lander bounced, and it got stuck in a bit of a crevice, and they've been trying to find it ever since. We did get some excellent data back from it, and we've got here Matt Taylor, who's one of the people in charge of the mission, and Holger Sirks, who is in charge of the high-resolution camera. And they spoke at the American Geophysical Union meeting last week, and they had this to say on their efforts to find the lander.
Hi, Eric Han with Science. So if knowing where you are is so crucial, maybe Matt or Jean-Pierre, you can tell us about the efforts to find the lander, what you've done so far and what you have in store, you know, what the chances are of finding it.
It's a bit like waiting for Christmas presents. That's basically the situation. Maybe Holger can add to what I'm going to say, but I think the images have been taken. We're just waiting for them to come down. So maybe Holger can comment on this from what's being done from the NAC camera. So I'm pointing at Holger Sirks, the PI of the OSIRIS camera on board Rosetta. So would it be possible for Holger to get the microphone?
Okay, I'm Holger Sirks, the PI of OSIRIS. So we ran already two search campaigns, so the first on November 24th and the second on December 6th. At that point in time, the lander was in shadow, and we were stretching the images and found one candidate, but it was not significant enough to really to say, yes, it is it. So we had a meeting at ESOC, so at the end of the Science Working Team meeting, and defined three more search campaigns for December 12, 13, and 14, which is in the past. And so with, let's say, from the best of our knowledge today, with showing the lander in sunlight, so just properly faced, and at a closer distance, so 20 kilometers to the center, 18 to the surface. So we should find the lander in these images. But it's half a billion kilometers to get the data down, and it's first in, first out. So we'll have to wait the data getting down. So we are still not in the situation that we have the data, and then the real search will start. So, yeah. So we are waiting every day. So we're checking the the data stream down. So they are coming down as the data was taken. So in the stream of information from Rosetta. So I can't tell you exactly when, but it's these hours, these days. So we are eagerly waiting to get the data at hand and analyze it.
That we get the data down, yeah. And then it's down to the OSIRIS team to try not to find too many lander-looking objects on the comet. Just find one.
And finding that one object in the pictures, that could be the lander. It's the difficulty because it is in the shadow. However, Jean-Pierre Bibring from France was very upbeat about the chances of finding Philae and then reviving it. And this could be as early as next month. Here's what he had to say at the American Geophysical Union meeting.
Mesdames, Messieurs, thanks a lot to be here. There is really a message to get home. We are so rapidly used to what happened that really we forget what happened. And a few months ago, we had a dream, and this dream really became reality. And this dream was really to land somewhere in a very pristine body to try to decipher the processes, what are the ingredients that pave the way to the diversity of the solar system as we see it today.
And then he went on to say this.
Alex Hootsie with Nature for Jean-Pierre. Can you talk a little bit more about the specifics of the angle that you need to get the energy sufficient to wake up again, and maybe some technical details on like what that flux might be on the panels?
Okay, well, to be able to wake up is two things. It's thermal and electricity. for the thermal, for the electricity, we need to have solar panels with a few watts. For the moment, we have typically 5 watts there, which is sufficient to reboot the system. If we want to do something there, we need to have another 5 or 7 watts. So the question is how to get there. Either nothing changed and we just wait for the sun to be higher in intensity, and this will come later, like April, May, probably. But if now, depending on the way we are located here, the sun will go over the horizon, the local horizon of Orlando, it may go earlier than that. So the question of how much power we'll get is really a function of where we are now and to try to reconstruct the DTM as it is now. So that's why we desperately try to have Osiris located us now. We have done all what we could with the data we have now, essentially with the conserved things plus many others. But we have reconstructed the trajectory so we know, I think, the sort of area in which we should be, but then we need to have a precise understanding essentially to reconstruct the DTM, the local terrain model, close to us to know where we are. So the pessimistically, it will be after Easter, positively, and it will be much prior to that. It really depends how the sun will go over the horizon, local horizon. So that's for the electricity, which is, again, it's the total energy we need is rather limited, right? It's less than 20, it's something like 15 watts total, which is really less than what you have in your fridge. So it's really limited. But still, you know, we are the 3AU, so that's why we need to wait. Now the question, the second question is, okay, do we have time or do we have the survival capability to wait until February or so? And this has to do with the temperature inside. As you know, we have been qualified for a temperature which is typically minus 65. With a margin of 10 degrees, it means that up to probably minus 75 or 80, we are in a good shape. It's difficult to assess what the average temperature inside. The fact that we have 4.5 hours on the solar panels globally, although it's not charged during that for other reasons, it's probably sufficient. The information we got just after the last moment is that we are very close to the hibernation period during which we had something very close to that. So we consider that we are the survival is warranted. But again, this we will know only when we turn on the system. And so we'll try, as soon as we know where we are, we'll do try. And that probably might be as early as January next year.
So there we have it, the latest word on the fate of Philae, the lander on the comet. Well, Helen Arney is a physicist turned comedian, a radio and TV presenter, and songwriter. And she penned this song for Philae. It's called Farewell Philae.
Sleep well, little Philae, you've fulfilled your destiny. 4 billion miles on the clock to do a science on a rock. Your jump down from Rosetta was so good, you jumped again and again. Whee! Low gravity! But when you came to land, it wasn't quite what ESA planned. Then you employed the best technology from 2004 that didn't stop you getting all the data you came for. Then the newsrooms of the BBC resounded with the echo of presenters rolling round the words Chiriumov, Chirimuchiri, Chirimu, Chirimumin, Chirigirigari, Jerry, Jerry, Gary, Gary Lineker, Chiriumov, Gerasimenko. Nailed it. We watched with rising horror as your batteries ran cold. It turns out solar panels don't work so well down a hole. The only true space cowboys are Jamiroquai and you, and maybe Bruce Willis too. I hope you'll wake up one day when the sun comes into view. So sleep well, my little Philae, you fulfilled your destiny, and you rocked that rock, and that's how you roll on Comet 67P.
Yeah, Yes, that was Helen Arney, Farewell Philae. And rest assured that during 2015, the Space Show will keep you up to date with what's happening with Rosetta, which, by the way, is returning astounding science. The jets are starting out now. And by the way, it's going to make a very close flyby of the comet in February. Again, we'll tell you about that when the time comes in February, but that's going to be very exciting.